Personally, darling, to speak quite candidly, I don't much care about the name of Ernest. I don't think it suits me at all.
It suits you perfectly. It is a divine name. It has a music of its own. It produces vibrations.
Oh, really, Gwendolyn, I must say, I think there are lots of other much nicer names. I think Jack, for instance, a charming name.
Jack? I've known several Jacks, and they all, without exception, are more than usually plain. The only really safe name is Ernest.
That's Frances O'Connor as Gwendolyn and Colin Firth as Jack, pretending to be Ernest. Colin Firth's acting credits include The English Patient, Shakespeare in Love, and Bridget Jones's Diary. As Bob Mondello said, Firth is mostly a straight man in The Importance of Being Earnest, but that doesn't preclude his singing a duet with Rupert Everett. Firth talked with us about that and about the virtue of making a movie that's been made before.
I had two conversations within about a day of each other, one with a girl of 17 who thought that the idea was very cool and said that other friends of hers were looking forward to seeing The Importance of Being Earnest. And my dad instead said, oh, they're not doing that again. And so I think these things go in cycles. And, you know, a 50-year interlude is respectable. Yep. I think it's a new interpretation for a new generation.
When did you first encounter this play? I mean, school? Did you read it or see it as a kid? Did you see that film or no?
I didn't see that film, and I must have encountered it in school. And I do not remember a time before which I knew about Oscar Wilde. And actually, I would say the same about Noel Coward. I just grew up with him. I can remember being a very small child and these names having a fascination for me. Coward and Wilde. You know, they were so odd that I thought that it bespoke of their stature somehow. And, of course, Wilde wrote fairy tales, so I can't remember whether I grew up with those either, but I knew that this was an important, witty man that was eminently quotable.
Well, tell me a little bit about where you grew up and when theater at all started to figure in your life.
I was born in England, but within a very few weeks I was taken to West Africa, where my father was teaching history in Nigeria. It could well have started then. My mother went to see Judi Dench in, I believe, a tour of, I think it was Twelfth Night. So I funnily enough, grew up with her name in the family as well. And we moved around England quite a bit. I had 1 year in the United States, in St. Louis, where I was in eighth grade. I saw films like everybody else, and I wanted to be on stage. I didn't remember being taken to much theater.
What do you remember of your year in America in St. Louis?
It was such a staggering experience. The cultural difference was so enormous that I've never forgotten it. And then in the summer, we spent 3 months touring the rest of the country. Really.
Going out west, in that case?
Yeah. And I have never forgotten the moment when I first saw the Rockies. We were stopped somewhere in, I suppose it must have been Colorado, and I'd never seen mountains like that. And it took my breath away. I remember standing there. It was in the evening. It was sunset, and I found it absolutely overwhelming. I could understand why people climb mountains or want to paint them or write about them or something. But
so very, very vivid impressions of America from when you were an adolescent.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then back to England for the rest of...
For the rest of my life.
Yes.
Well, yes, I went back to England, and you know, I had a very conventional schooling in England, and then... then the acting thing. But the travel has always remained a part of my life.
But you say, and then the acting thing. I mean, I'm wondering, is there some moment when it's clear to you that you're going to be an actor and not a historian or not a dentist or something else at that moment?
Well, I do. There is a moment I can mark about a year after I came back from America where I don't know how serious I was in making the announcement, but I did announce to myself and everybody else that I was going to be an actor.
Well, at that time, this would have been in the early or mid-1970s, yes?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Was there somebody who, in your mind, when you thought of becoming an actor, was the actor, that is, you would become an actor like, and then fill in the blank?
I do certainly remember very young watching Spencer Tracy. I noticed Hopkins very young. Anthony Hopkins when I was still very young. But the one that I think probably captivated me more than any other that I can think of was Paul Scofield in Man for All Seasons. I don't know what age I was when I saw him, but this was something new because there was a paradox to what he was doing in that it was so utterly true. It was so unadorned. And how can it be true? It's acting. It's false. Yeah. I mean, I know that we're all trying to be true, but there was something so expressive of integrity in what he did. He was portraying a man that didn't have an acting bone in his body. And that was the thing that gripped me the most. It's not in anything he seemed to be doing physically. It's not in anything one might, in the crudest sense, call acting. It just is there in his eyes. It's there in his voice. It's there in his stillness. And I think that was the thing that I most wanted to pursue.
And to this day, when you do a piece like The Importance of Being Earnest, are you still striving for that kind of naturalness? And what is, after all, it's a period piece, it's a comedy, it's you guys do mug it up a little bit throughout this movie.
Of course. I mean, I'm not playing Thomas More. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, he was playing a character who, you know, it required that sort of understated humanity. But however, whatever convention you're working with, and whether it's pantomime or however broad the comedy is, it's still important to look for a core of truth, of reality. And it doesn't have to be truth with a capital T, but you are representing a human being, whatever you're doing. If it's comedy, it's going to be funnier if it's rooted in truth. Really, I find it much more difficult than drama. I think that something of the importance of being earnest, as soon as you analyze it, is dead, really. So you've got to kind of, it's a bit like playing jazz or something. You've got to find a current and hop on it and let it carry you.
Tell me about your singing performance and The Importance of Being Earnest.
Is there really anything to be said about my singing?
Well, tell us first about the song.
Well, the song is a poem which was composed by Oscar Wilde. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not sure what its origin is, but it's words by Oscar Wilde, music by Charlie Mull, who is our composer. And it's used to serenade Cecily and Gwendolyn during the sequence in the play where they reject us.
The western wind is blowing fair across the dark Aegean Sea, and at the secret marble stair my Tyrian galley waits for thee. Come down the purple sail is spread, the watchman sleeps within the town.
I did study the guitar part, hoping that some kind of ability on the guitar might make up for the vocal shortcomings, but I'm afraid it all added up as one big shortcoming.
You're saying you're not planning a crossover album of songs that you're going to sing now.
Whether I was planning it or not, I think it's probably immaterial. I'm not sure anyone's going to have me.
Well, Colin Firth, thank you very much for coming in to talk with us.
Thank you.
Actor and sometimes singer Colin Firth stars in The Importance of Being Earnest,